The only way to heaven is through the cross. You can't walk next to it and get to heaven. You can't walk around it and get to heaven. There's a door in the cross. That's it. That's it. You got to walk through that door. You can't pretend the door's not there. You can't go to the left. You can't go to the right. There are good things, good ideas in this world, but that's as far as they're going to get you, is this world.
Welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we continue a series on the book of 1 John. We're talking about what it looks like to trust and obey in our relationship with God and how He's faithful to us as we are faithful to Him. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and search John in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes or tune in online radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
What we're trying to create in this particular Bible study is the idea that it is totally interconnected. No matter what your preference is first, if you're a doer and then you feel it, or if you're a feeler and then you do it, it's still totally connected. One should lead to the other.
Right. Yeah.
Wherever you start in the circle,
right,
it should remain
right,
an ongoing circle.
Right. Well, and that's kind of what I meant by cyclical. Like, it's just,
yeah,
you know, once that motion starts, you hope it's perpetuated and, yeah, it's going and it's, mm-hmm, going, mm-hmm, you know, at how it, like you just said, how it starts is up to you.
Yep. And like we said earlier, sometimes you got to push it.
Yeah.
You're not feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
I think there's no area in life where you're going to be able to just rely on, well, I have to feel it first. I mean, you're not going to have a very good marriage if you only have sex when you feel like
That's right.
it.
That's right.
And you're not going to be in shape if you only exercise when you feel like it.
Yeah. Holy.
Okay. Back to the second chapter. We just went through 1-6, right?
Yes.
Now, this is where we're going to skim a little bit. Chapter 2 is obviously quite a bit longer than chapter 1. There's a lot in there. It all still is very much about trust and obey. In my Bible, there are headings. The heading starting with chapter 7 talks about the new commandment. The heading starting with chapter 15 says, do not love the world, which we can put under trust and obey. And then there's a warning about antichrists, which I'm not going to get into apocalyptic stuff here, but this is what we call, what I call little a antichrist. So this is anything or anyone that would come against Jesus Christ and the gospel in its purest form. And again, we can talk about why John wrote this letter at this time, but I'm not going to do that. Suffice it to say, this was an important part of the letter. Verses 18 through 28 regarding Antichrist was a really important part of the letter because of who he was writing to and the conditions that they had found themselves in. If you're curious, go look it up. You can go through in your Bible or on the diagram and make some notes on the trust and obey theme as you see them play out through the rest of chapter 2. But the two that I really want to make sure that we diagram or at least lift out to chat about are chapter 2, verse 24, and chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. So can one of you guys read each of those, please?
1 John 2:24 says, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father.
Okay. And where did you put that on the trust obey circle?
Obey.
Yeah. You guys?
Yes.
I also saw some elements of trust there too.
Yeah. I did too. He doesn't make it easy. That's why I wanted us to really do this. It really is an exercise because it forces you to think, right? Like, is he really talking about trust or obedience? And of course, we keep coming back to the fact that they are inextricably linked. So I think that's okay. And I actually think, Marilyn, you have chapter 2, 28, 29.
Yes. 1 John 2:28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that anyone who practices righteousness has been born of him.
Okay. He's not really talking to little children. What he means is you who are young in the faith. It's an expression. Okay. Do you guys want to tell me what you thought that, where you diagrammed that or where you put that on the trust obey circle?
Trust. I put it in trust.
I put it in obey.
Same.
It says, okay. Continue in him. Again, it's their action. whatever that might mean, I guess. Believe, continuing to believe, or continuing to do things that show that you believe.
Underlined continue, but then I kept reading and I underlined, we may be confident and unashamed. So I guess
that's the response to the continuing.
Totally. Yeah.
But I would have put it under trust as well, because if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Like, it's a, you can trust your faith is real. You can trust that. And abide in him totally is an obey thing. Some of these, maybe you have to split them up.
Right.
It's okay to do that. Split them up.
I'm with you, Carol. I said obey.
All right. We have split decision right down the middle of the table. So that's okay. Again, the idea of this whole book is that it's totally connected. And, you know, just can't say that too many times. Let's look at chapter 3, which contains the verse I think is centrally thematic, which is why I stuck it in the middle of your diagram. Carol, is that you?
Sorry, it is.
That's okay.
1 John 3:23-24. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commands us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Okay.
That's 1 John 3:23-24.
This is the first time in the homework I said you can separate the two verses if necessary. I probably should have done that sooner. So where did you guys put that? Do you want to rephrase that first? That one's another one that I think is worth just a rephrase if you have it.
I have, if we obey and show it in our actions as he commanded, we can trust that he is in us and with us. So I have it totally. Mm-hmm. Both.
Yeah. Well, which is why, which is why I think that's the centrally thematic verse for this book. I think it sums up the whole book.
Right.
You agree?
Yes, I agree.
I was going to say, I wrote, God requires us to believe in Jesus and love one another. Like the two greatest commands, got to repeat it. If you do this, God lives in you and you in him. And the Spirit confirms this.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Those were the two most important commandments, as he said. That's a good point. I didn't lift that out. Did you guys just put it, you split it up on your diagram? Yeah. There was not a lot of gray area, but it did need to be split. At some point, they say their main point that they're getting at. It's interesting, though, in this circular nature, it's right in the middle of the book in chapter 3. You got two chapters in front of it and two chapters behind it. In a linear way, he'd say, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps the commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And then maybe he would have laid out the trust thing and then laid out the obedience thing. Right. But that's not how this one works, which I don't mind, because I'm someone who needs to hear things. I need things to be repeated. So for me, once I adjust to this writing style, I prefer it, because John then just goes about saying it in 100 different ways.
Right.
You know, and that's helpful for me, because if the first five didn't sink in a way that feel relevant to me, then the sixth or the seventh or the ninth, I'm like, oh, I see what you're saying now. And I need that. So before we leave chapter 3, let's diagram 1 John 3:18. Can someone that read that for us?
Yes, it's me. John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth.
I just couldn't leave chapter 3 without, that's such a good verse. I'm sorry, you needed to say the address again.
1 John 3:18.
That's like a life verse, right? That's so tiny. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That's pretty simple, but it says a lot. Okay, so where did you diagram that?
Both. I put it under obedience.
Okay, tell me more about that.
You express your faith by showing obedience, by doing what he says.
Mm-hmm. And you put it under both?
I did, and I really, now that I'm looking at it, I don't know why.
What do you think it should be under?
I definitely think obey, because the action, you know, the obedience of this is what, you know, hey, like you just said, here's how it is.
Think about what you might have been thinking, because I don't necessarily think you're wrong.
Well, I think the only thing that I'm now looking at is the truth, and in truth. The only thing I can think is when I did both was I saw it, again, as cyclical, let us not love with words or tongue, but in actions and in truth. So I feel like the actions is the obey and the truth is the
trust.
The trust part.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I saw where I wrote it, but then it just didn't.
Yeah, I thought the truth was talking about what kind of actions you
Yeah.
Do.
I think that's the surface understanding. I think that's why both of you reacted to it. But I think what she's saying has merit. I do. Did you put it in obey? Obey? Mm-hmm. Cool. It does seem to be an action.
I wish it said love only with words and tongue. Like he's saying, it almost sounds like he's saying, don't talk, just do actions. And I think that's, Americans like to do that. We like to do and not talk about the gospel. I know our pastor was preaching on this recently. He's like, oh, I'll just live out my faith, but I won't ever talk about it. And that's not good.
We want people to pick it up by osmosis.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not the case for me.
Really?
I talk a lot.
That's odd.
But no, I do. I do. But certainly in certain relationships, I have a little more trouble than others.
Right.
I mean, at this point, you know who I am. Everybody knows who I am. And I talk about it pretty freely. But like, for example, at work, I'm a little less, just a little less out there with it. Only because I don't want to alienate. Mm-hmm. And I know the great thing about work is you assume they're going to be around for a while. So you have time. You have time. You have time to kind of build the relationship to a place where they care why you do what you do and why you behave the
way
you
behave. And they have to see the integrity and the love before they are going to care what you have to say.
Yeah, kind of.
I totally fall victim to that a lot, or you're not really victim. It's my own choice. But, you know, the other day I was talking about how I was working last year and then it fell through this year and I'm not real sure what I'm going to do. And I had just kind of said in passing to this person, a neighbor, well, I've just been praying about it. And she gave me the weirdest look, like, really? And I said, yeah, I'm just putting it out there. I thought, okay, all right. Yeah. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Have you ever just, you know,
I remember years ago, a friend of mine said, how do you just pray about everything? And I said, how do you not?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I say that all the time. We're just going to have to pray about it.
Yeah. And
she just was fed up with my shenanigans of prayer. And she was like, what? I guess the tone was like, doesn't that slow you down? Like, how do you wait? And, you know, I don't know.
Well,
exactly.
I think there's a visual with some people where you're dropped down on your knees, like for 2 hours straight, prone, like, you know, and people forget. I have a very dear friend who is a, you know, also practicing Catholic, a very practicing Catholic. And sometimes you forget she was in a bad way. Just everything that could go wrong was going wrong in her life last year. And I remember in the parking lot, after a meeting for teaching for CCD, and she's in tears. And I just looked at her and I'm like, did you give it to God? Did you pray? You're talking about? And I get that. And I'm totally, totally guilty of this a lot, as is Sean. And I'm trying to get him into it. Like, you fall out of practice. You don't, you know, you can't make it to Bible study. You just fall out of practice. And when I said to her, have you sat on it? Have you given it to him and just given, you know, have you prayed about it? You know what? Thank you for saying that, is what she said. No, I have not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have. It's all I think about. I can't even hear the readings in church because it's all I'm thinking about. But no, I didn't actually put it on a plate and hand it to him.
That's so good of you to say that.
You know,
isn't it interesting?
I just need someone to remind me to do
that. But that's what I was just going to say. Yes. Isn't it interesting that you and she came together in that moment because you were sensitized by your own shortcomings? In that same way. So you were sensitized to say to her, because you know, we can say to friends and family, I struggle with that too. So I just was wondering, did you stop and pray about it? Because I often forget to pray.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you know what I mean? I feel like God puts us in situations where we're already sensitized by our own experience to speak into it in a very specific way. And one of the board members, we were just doing something for the ministry and I started just down the road. And it's always a big question, like literally month to month, which is okay. It teaches us trust and obey, you know, because we believe that if God wants this thing to happen, he's going to help us and it'll all work out. But we also believe that we have work to do. And so fundraising is kind of in our mind all the time. And I went to sit down and meet with the fundraising committee. And one of the girlfriends was like, I've been praying about, she was all nervous. She was like, it was Leanne. You know Leanne.
Yeah.
She was all nervous. She doesn't get nervous. She was like very open. She was very nervous. And she said, I've been praying about this. And I have to tell you that I feel convicted to ask you, did you pray about this? No, I didn't. I was like, this seems like the next thing that we could do to raise some money. Did not pray about it at all. And she said, I don't think there's anything wrong with this as a fundraiser. I just don't know that this is what God has for us right now. And she was right. Then when I did pray about it, I was like, oh, yeah, duh.
Right.
We're talking about working in and on a ministry.
Right.
You would think I would remember to pray. I did not.
Yeah.
I just, well, you know, again, it goes it back happens. To this. I'm a doer.
The logical mind.
Yeah.
Is, yeah.
And you just go forward and you do Why the things that you think are right and you make the decisions you think are best. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you find yourself down a road. Someone was just talking to me about this the other day where God's like, I never told you to do that in the first place. So mop all that up, back that truck up, and then let's try again.
Right.
So a great example. I think we all fall into that.
Oh, totally. And my gosh, just thinking of it. And it's funny that she reminded you of that because I always see you as, I don't know, sort of a role model to me with parenting. Like, you know, there's so many knee-jerk reactions with the kids. And then you stop and you go, maybe that wasn't the best response. Maybe I really should have listened more to his point of view and prayed about it or asked him if, you know, rather than just do what I told you to do because that's what, you know.
I'll tell you something. With your oldest being 13, you're going to be experiencing that more and more.
Oh, totally.
And more where you have to stop yourself and let him figure it out. That's so hard. It goes against everything, every mother cell in us because someone really wise said to me once, and it was at MOPS, and I'm like, my kids are in preschool. You know how someone will say something and you're like, oh, I got to hold on to that when I feel like I'm going to need it.
Right.
I think it was like, you know, how sometimes we would have St. Mary's come in and do like parenting talks.
Right. The parenting center. Yeah.
And she said from age 0 to 13, you talk. Or no, from say age 0 to 12, you talk. And from 13 on, you listen. And I was like, oh. Well, the first response was, I have to hurry up and do all the talking before they become 13.
You know what I mean?
I got to jam it in. I thought I had to like maybe 18, but now you've moved my deadline.
Listen, you just turned 13 in August, but I have just a few
so
more
much I
to
still
say.
Have to say. But it was actually a really good benchmark.
That's great. Yeah.
Because the truth is, it's right around that age where we have to let them start to make their own mistakes in a safe environment.
Yeah.
So that when they screw things up, we are a soft place to land. And if you're still nagging at them, you're not a soft place to land. And they haven't been able to make the decision on their own. This morning, Sophie is home from school sick. And she agonized for a half an hour about whether she should stay home or not. And neither Greg nor I would give her the answer. She was like, well, I know I'm going to have a lot of work to do, but I really don't feel good. But I probably could go, but I don't know if I should go. And she kept coming back in. Of course, we're sleeping because we don't. I mean, our kids are, you know, 13 and 15. They get themselves up and I get up in time to drive them to the carpool. I said, well, go have breakfast and think about it. But it's against my three or four times I was like, just stay home. You're sick.
Yeah.
But I didn't say it because they're at that age where I have to let them. Which the reason I'm belaboring this is because I think it completely ties in with what we're talking about. So I'm glad you brought it up. I don't even know how we got there. I think that God, as our Heavenly Father, does the same thing with us. We know that we are worthy of our children's trust. We know that. And that's, we give them the wisdom and the advice that we think is best from our own experience and from God's word. But it takes them time to figure out whether they want to trust us or not. And they have moments where they don't want to trust us. And they have moments when they just flat out don't want to listen to us. Mm-hmm. And the same is true with our friends and anybody in church relationships, anybody who we would want to have an intimate relationship with, a close relationship with. We want them to know that we're trustworthy. But listening and seeing that something plays out builds more trust. That's true with our children, and it's true with us and our Heavenly Father. And we're talking about that, but I just think it's worth noting that there comes a place in our faith as well where God's not going to necessarily jump in and convict you early on in the process because you're grown now, you're more mature in your faith, and you should have known. So I'm going to let you make the mistake. All through the Bible, it warns against, you know, steering people who are young in their faith the wrong way. And there's, even in this book, it says little children, little children, little children. So he's treating them as young in their faith. And Paul, I mean, the whole Bible warns against not misleading those that are young in their faith. But as we get more mature in our faith, more is expected of us. And that's true of our kid. So it's just a good parallel. Might as well lift it out. Okay, let's go into chapter 4. Who has 1 John 4:4?
1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So that is, I believe, referring to these little a antichrists.
Thank you for
1 John 4:4.
Thank you for putting context on that. That was good. And this, the whole beginning of chapter 4 in my Bible is under the heading Test the Spirits. So we talked a little bit about this before as well. A tree is known by its fruit. Know what you're listening to. Know what's advising you. And know what you're living among. You know, even if you're not taking their advice, you're around them. So can someone rephrase that, please?
So I rephrased that as, you're from God and have overcome evil because God is in you and he is greater than evil.
Good. That's good. I think about that Mercy Me song. It's a knee slapper. Greater is he who is in you, than he who is in the world. It's a good song. It's very catchy. Does anybody else have insight they want to share from rephrasing?
So the only thought I had about that was, on one level, gives the impression that you have no excuse to give into evil because you have the Holy Spirit living in you and it's greater than that. Mm-hmm. So it's on you whenever you sin. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe sounding like giving into evil is like a big deal. It's anything that's not of God. So convicting to me. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's in there. Do you also think that this is a comforting verse?
Yes.
Like, take comfort when you stumble, because I'm still with you and I've overcome it in the big O, overcome.
Right, ultimately.
Way. Yeah,
yes,
yeah. So first, I think it's two-sided. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys agree?
Yes, I felt that way too, that I have to remember that God is omnipotent. Mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about anything else. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble in this world, but I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to remind myself of that.
And that's comforting.
Yes,
yeah,
quite.
Yeah. And so this is so great because she felt convicted. And you felt comforted by the same verse. And I think it's intended to do both. God's word is fully intended to do both. Mm-hmm. Hold you accountable, but comfort you when you fall short.
Right. No, totally. I probably felt more comforting. I rephrased it as, the Spirit of God in us is stronger than of those in the world, mm-hmm, that are false.
That's so comforting.
So yeah, I felt more of like a, almost like an encouraging pat on the back type of,
yeah,
you know.
But to circle back, like, then I'm accountable to that spirit. If that spirit truly lives in me, then I shouldn't constantly be unable to overcome.
Right.
Sometimes I should be able to overcome through Jesus Christ who lives in me. It's a great conversation about that particular verse. Where'd you put it on the diagram?
Oh. I put a big question
mark.
Oh,
I put a big question mark
on
it. I couldn't find it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure how it is. Big question mark pointing to both.
Is overcoming trusting or is it obedience?
Right. I think I put it there because I felt like it was almost like the little nugget of everything. Like, I know it's not a linear book, but if it were, perhaps that would be one of the endpoints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. You're right.
Wow, what's the coffee?
So I think that's a really great observation, because you're right. I'm just processing that. That is a really good end.
Wow,
note.
You're
processing. Really,
I'm going
note.
Home.
Oh,
call
you
it a
sell
day.
Yourself short. You are very wise, and I learn a lot from you. You sell yourself too short.
We are so glad you listened today. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you are new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener-supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. February is the month of our annual fund drive. Would you prayerfully consider helping to financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends? You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We're always passing the emails around to celebrate that you cared enough to reach out, and we pray for you too. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the book of 1 John. See you next time on Study with Friends.